Hey, ProWrestling.net and iTunes listeners, this is Jason Powell here with a special guest, former ECW wrestler, current TNA backstage agent, Simon Diamond, a.k.a. Pat Kenny, and he is here to discuss Sunday's TNA Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. Simon, I am curious to know, when did you find out about the pay-per-view format, and what was your initial reaction?
I heard about it, I guess, around when Dreamer came in, and he actually came up to me and said, you know, you may want to start getting in shape because we may be doing this pay-per-view. I said, oh, okay. So I didn't really take it seriously at first, but then I guess about 2 weeks later, the buzz is really got around the thing, and I was like, wow, I guess this is going to happen.
And you've been out of the ring since, I think, about 2006.
Yeah, that's about right. My last match, actually, was Spike Dudley has a school up in the Boston area, and I did a seminar for him, and then I wrestled a show on Saturday.
Okay.
And that was my last match. And I think that was like 2000 and, geez, I want to say April of 2007.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, were you hoping to have one more match, or were you content with life outside
not
the organization?
Not really. I was content. I'm very content. I love my job. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, given the situation, though, of the pay-per-view and some of the mitigating factors around it, I said, sure, I'd love to be a part of it.
And you didn't work the two WWE one-night stand pay-per-view events, but...
I believe both times I was employed with TNA.
Okay.
So I couldn't.
And you did work... You worked one of the Hardcore Homecoming shows, though.
Yes, the first one with Shane. Was in Philly, and I think it was me and CW against Chetty and Mikey Whipwreck.
Wow.
That opened the show, which is always the best spot to be on.
Why is that?
It's really hard to have a bad match when you open the show.
Just a hot crowd.
The crowd is going to be ultra hot. And, you know, it's really hard. Really hard. Now, saying that, they'll put me to open the show on Sunday, and I'll have a horrible match.
Well, will this pay-per-view give you any sense of closure? I mean, you were with ECW until the end, or did you already have that feeling after working a reunion show?
I guess a little bit at the reunion show, I kind of had a little bit of closure. I think, you know, the reunion show missed a couple key, you know, parts of it because the majority of them at the time were about to appear on the One Night Stand event a day later. So, you know, I didn't have full closure. I guess I had quasi-closure. But, you know, I think Swinger is on the show, and I know that we're teaming together. I don't know what it is that we're doing, but I know we're teaming together, and that will give me closure. You know, when I tugged with Swinger in ECW and TNA, it was, you know, the best time of my wrestling career. And so I can't think of a better way to go out than tagging with him.
If you were in peak condition right now, is there a particular match or opponent that you'd like to work on this show that either you felt like you had good chemistry with in the past, or maybe you just never even got a chance to work with? And, you know, I know you're, you know, primarily a tag team guy, so even if, you know, it's just a team rather than a singles guy is fine, too.
Wow. That's a great question. I'd say, you know, I always enjoyed working Sabu. Always enjoyed, for a singles match, if I was in peak condition, which we'd have to rewind the clock about 2-3 years. Sabu, I always enjoyed working with Sabu because he always you know, he made you work hard. He brought that out of you. Tag, you know who Swinger and I never, we never faced was, the FBI.
Oh, wow.
Never faced them in a tag match.
No, you said you don't know what you're doing on this show. Are you doing any lobbying, and is for something you'd like to do on this show?
No, I'm lobbying to get the microphone for about 10 minutes, but I don't think that's gonna work. It is what it is. And that was always some of the beauty of the old ECW, was you never really knew what you were doing until you got to the building, and then you saw the lineup and. That, you know, even on pay-per-views, it wasn't always cemented until you got there, where today everything is pretty much, you know going in advance what you're doing, because if no one's told you, you watch the show and you know what you're doing because they've already announced the match. And so I think that was one of the beauties of the old ECW, is not only did the fans not know, but a lot of the wrestlers didn't know until the day of the event. So I guess that's, they're bringing that back because I don't know if they've told everyone what they're doing.
I should back it up here just a second, too. You said you never faced the FBI. Which version would you, if you had your brothers, would you be facing? The Tommy Briggs, Tracy Smothers?
Well, I guess the version that I was speaking about was Mama Luke and Guido,
sure,
with Big Sal. Now, I am a humongous fan of Tracy Smothers. Humongous. So if we can get him involved in any way, shape, or form, that's even better.
Yeah.
So, we'd be a little outmanned. So maybe give us CW, and then we can have a six-man.
And have you been able to get in pretty good shape for this show? I mean, you've been working as an agent.
Yeah, man. By the time that it really got, by the time it was really official, I had about, I'd say 16 days, and you can't, it's impossible. So I'm just trying to do the best I can. Cutting like not eating carbs and being miserable a lot because I'm not having any carbs. And I really haven't done much cardio work. I've always hated cardio. It's always been like my weak point. So, but the main thing that I've been doing is cutting carbs. So we'll see.
How about Swinger? We haven't seen much of him lately.
Swinger will look the exact same that he looked 10 years ago.
Really?
Exactly the same. Jacked to the gills, shredded. His diet doesn't change no matter if he's, now he's still been wrestling. He's still been doing a lot of independence, and he's been getting some movie works and stuff. His diet is so tight. It's ridiculous. My diet is, I can't do it. I have too many vices.
What is it?
Food vices.
Right, right. Good to clarify that. What is it that kept, that's kept Swinger out of TNA? I'm just curious because, like you say, he's got a great look and he's been with the company before. It just seems like it never really sticks.
I don't, that's a great question because he left at one point to go to the WWE, and he got a developmental deal there. And that was around the time when the one night stand pay-per-view happened. And he was, I'm trying to think of when he left there, when he left WWE. I can't think, but it's kind of been like, he went to WWE for the, he got a deal with them, and then One Night Stand came along, and then he left there. I guess he's been out of there for, I'd say about about a year and a half, maybe. And, it's just been one of those things where it just hasn't happened yet,
Is it safe to say then he's, you hear about different guys that are working the show and some of them just have different outlooks on it. And, yourself, you're going to go back to being an agent when this is over with. And some guys are hoping to, get contracts under the deal. Others are just hoping they can boost their stock on the indie scene a little bit. Is Swinger probably one of those guys who's hoping more comes out of this with TNA?
I would say so. I mean, he doesn't have he's not under contract with either group right now. And I would have to say, if you really pressed the guys coming in for this, they would look at it the same way. I mean, it's basically an open audition on pay-per-view.
Sure.
So, you know, and I would even have to imagine that, you know, a few of them are hoping to, you know, leave there with contracts in hand. Now, whether or not that happens,
are you still with me?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Sorry about that.
You're just saying whether or not that happens with the contract.
Well, whether or not that happens or not, I don't know. I don't make those decisions. But if I was in that position where I was being brought in for a reunion type show, so to speak, I would look at it as, you know, a tryout, and I would try to get myself in the best possible shape, and I would try to, you know, to do as much as humanly possible to get hired. The Honky Tonk Man told me this one time, and it's so true. He said the greatest gift you can have in the wrestling business is perseverance, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, because there's always a guy out there with money who can open up a group. That's why it's always important, if you're a guy who is looking to get signed, to always remain in shape. Now, I'm not looking to get signed to a wrestling contract in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, I'm not exactly too worried about looking like I did in 2005.
Right.
So, you know, but to the guys that are, you know, hopefully, you know, the majority of them show up in decent shape.
I know it's pro wrestling. You never say never, much like Brett Favre. Do you see this, or are you looking at this as your final match?
Yes, pretty much.
I mean,
it would take something gigantic to get me back into the ring. I mean, I'm 42 now. I have a 3-month-old daughter. My life is a lot different. It's not about, you know, wrestling and being a quote unquote star. It's not about that anymore. It's remaining in the wrestling business. It's helping the younger wrestlers. It's, you know, being a part of something that hopefully will continue to grow. And that's my focus right now. And I love it. I mean, I love it. I enjoy it just as much as I did when I performed.
Will you be doubling as an agent on this show or just working as a talent?
I think I'm doing both, but don't quote me on that.
A little late now.
And if I'm aging my own match, I'm going to be difficult to myself.
Sure. Let me guess. You'll get the mic and Swinger does the bulk of the in-ring work.
I'm going to be very difficult to myself, yes.
Yeah. All right. We know Tommy Dreamer is writing this show, and I'm curious if he's leaned on you at all as an agent of the company for any ideas or suggestions.
He has asked for my opinion on a couple things, not many, but he has asked me on a couple things, basically in regards to TNA, how TNA runs something as opposed to how ECW ran it, or, you know, hey, what do you think about this? You know, which is, you know,
Oh, I think we broke up again. Are you still with me?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So he's asked me for a couple. He's asked me for my opinion on a couple things, mostly with in regards to TNA, how TNA does something as opposed to how ECW or the WWE did something production-wise, or, you know, stuff like that. Logistics within the Impact Zone and stuff like that. And then he's asked me my opinion on, hey, what do you think about this as far as, like, this guy possibly facing this guy?
Okay. How do you see there being some limitations? Because this show, it's not in an ECW arena-type venue. This is a Universal Studios. Is there going to be some limitations in terms of what the guys are allowed to do? I know Team 3D has teased Fire Now on television, and, you know, some people have kind of sat back and said, boy, I don't know if that's going to fly at Universal. Do you think that there could be some restrictions?
I know, I've heard this several times from the people who are involved with the production interaction with Universal people. And I've heard the term, pick your battles wisely, several times.
Sure.
Meaning, you know, you can get something, but you really got to, you know, in a pay-per-view TV time period, well, if we're asking for something really big on Sunday, then we know we really can't be asking for anything big on Monday and Tuesday. That being said, I would imagine that they've realized that, so that they're really – it's probably all being cleared before we even get there. So I don't think there's going to be any type of, you know, last-minute jockeying with Universal. I'm sure that everything's been cleared with them. They probably asked for a lot of leniency. There may be extra fire people on hand. There may be extra medical personnel on hand. If they ask for that, that may be the, you know, the return that Universal asked for. I mean, Universal certainly has to, you know, deal with their side. But knowing what I've heard so far about the pay-per-view, I know that they've asked for several, you know, leniency as far as craziness is involved.
Sure, sure. Now, Tommy, in interviews, seems like he's leaving the door open for Paul Heyman to be part of this show. He's made it seem like there's an invite out there. Do you think there's any chance Paul Heyman shows up on Sunday?
Say slim and none.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't see it. I think, you know, I think Paul has made his peace with his baby, which is ECW. I mean, Paul was the creator. He was the guy behind it all. He's made his peace with ECW. It's, you know, and I don't think he wants to revisit that anymore.
Now, it's no secret that Heyman has spoken with Dixie Carter regarding the possibility of potentially working for TNA. As someone who worked for him in the past and in those dying days of the company when maybe some checks didn't clear and things like that, would you welcome the idea of him joining the company?
If he can help the company, I certainly would welcome him, if he can help the company. I would imagine that Dixie would want him to be a part of her team, as opposed to what I believe Paul has said is he wants to bring in his own team. So I think that may be one of the issues, because, you know, Dixie really has her quote-unquote team in place. So I think she's looking for him to become an important cog, where I think that Paul's looking at it as he wants to be the cog. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, negotiable on either side. If Paul can help the company, you know, I'd love to have him a part of it, because, you know, I just want TNA to succeed.
Now, I'm not trying to trick you into giving up something, so I'm trying to figure out a nice way to word this. But I'm curious if there's anyone in particular that you haven't seen lately amongst the old ECW guys that you're looking forward to catching up with this weekend, or even just hoping that they're going to be there.
Good question. Well, I saw Sandman 2 weeks ago. That's always interesting. I saw Tommy Dreamer 2 months ago. That's always interesting. I guess Swinger is a guy I haven't seen. You know, we were together for a convention in December, but I haven't seen him since, and we really didn't get to spend that much time talking, but, you know, we'll have a full day today, so I can really sit down and see, you know, I mean, I talked to him, but it's different, you know, so I would probably say him.
And to close this out, there's been, you know, I think there's kind of a mixed reaction to this show. Some people very excited about it, others almost apprehensive, don't want to see the old ECW tarnished, or just think it's a bad idea, whatever. Do you have a final sales pitch to fans who are on the fence about ordering the TNA Hardcore Justice pay-per-view on Sunday night?
Yeah, I do. Here's my huge sales pitch. A couple weeks ago, I sat down and I watched the Yankees Old Timers Day, which I watch every year, and I watch it for one reason and one reason only, for Michael Kay to to say. And next, he was a Yankee from 1977 to 1981. Who can forget that night of October 16th, 1977, when he hit three home runs to lead the New York Yankees to their first world championship in 22 years? He is a Hall of Famer. Please welcome Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. Everyone cheers, you know. And,
sure.
And that's basically, I mean, in a nutshell, what this is going to be. But it's going to be with a younger generation of guys. It's going to be kind of like a, it's going to be a very nostalgic event. This is, there's a lot of people out there who watch the ECW product, you know, very religiously. And I can remember when I went back to college and I was bartending a sports bar at Virginia Commonwealth University. And, on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, we would have a regular crowd of about 20 people who would come in to watch Eastern Championship Wrestling, which then turned into Extreme Championship Wrestling. And I've heard from a lot of those guys recently, and, you know, they've all said the same thing. It's going to be great to see, you know, number one, the way the guys look today, and number two, just to get a little taste of that ECW product that we haven't had a taste of realistically since ECW folded in 2001, I believe. But it's going to be a nostalgia event. It's going to be a fun event above and beyond anything else. And you'll see that in the way the guys perform. Not taking anything away from what we do on a regular basis. But just something happens when you put these guys in the same room together. And I think it's going to happen again on Sunday. I pray to God, knock on wood, that I'm able to get through my match and wherever it is on the show, and then I can sit back and watch the rest of the show, because I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what happens. And I think a lot of the beauty of ECW was always, you don't know what's going to happen next. And honestly, I don't really know what's going to happen on this pay-per-view, and I would say I have a position in the company that, you know, I would be privy to this, but that's what they've chosen to do, and I love it.
Well, Simon Diamond, a.k.a. Pat Kenny, thank you very much for the time, and best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you, Jace.